I hope everyone here knows about our community garden. We have the Teresa Kinney Community Garden at Covenant, and it's right out here by the pavilion. We have 16 plots, and we sell them to church members and members of the community. We still have a couple plots left if anyone's interested. And then we have a large group of people that help out, and we have church plots that we plant, and that produce we sell here at church during farmers market that we try and have like once a month. The proceeds from that go to High Point, which is a local mission here in LaGrange, and they support over 2,000 families and individuals in the Oldham, Henry, and Trimble County areas. Our donations that we receive go to them, and then the extra produce that we don't sell, we give to them. Last year, we gave over 750 pounds of produce to them, and we raised over $500 worth of donations. And this year, we're hoping to double that, so we're hoping everyone can get involved. And like I said, we still, have a couple plots left. And anybody that's interested in gardening, we'd love to have you come help us. There's a lot of work to do. And it all goes to High Point to help strengthen our community for those people that are in need. Thank you. If you have any questions, talk to Grant or I.
Thank you, Pastor Mel, and thank you, Pastor Mike, for the invitation to be here with you today. My name is Ralph Young. I am the development coordinator from the United Methodist Home in Kentucky, and I'm pleased and honored to share this time with you this morning. I've had an opportunity to be with you for a while now today in the first service and Sunday school classes, and anytime I go into a Methodist church, it just feels like home, and I'm so glad to be with you today. I would like you to know I've been at the Methodist Home for about 3.5 years and started there as a youth care worker, working directly with the boys and girls who are in treatment there. And as of 3 weeks ago, I have been asked to serve as the development coordinator. And I gave every reason why I shouldn't be chosen, but the Lord says, no, this is your job. So I'm glad to do that and to share with you today. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know something, that the children at the children's home and the staff who are there send you their warmest greetings and their heartfelt thanks for your support. Your church has been doing marvelously in providing a outreach and ministry there at the United Methodist Home in Nicholasville. The scripture tells us, written in the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, when we first started ministry there over 147 years ago, it was a ministry to orphans and widows following the Civil War. The ministry that was appropriate and timely at that point in history has changed over the years, and now, just as vital as it was then, we are now offering healing to children and youth who are victims of abuse and neglect, and offering services to heal broken families. This is across the state of Kentucky, and you have a part in that ministry. We serve young people like Patricia, whose story is included in that insert in your bulletin today. And I invite you to read that story and to hear what she really says in terms of, had it not been for the United Methodist Home in Kentucky, I don't know where my life would be today. It has had that significant of an impact and change. We serve children just like her, and I'd like to share a story with you about a young man that that I ministered to. His name was Andrew. And Andrew came to us with all kinds of issues, and one of the things that he said to me when I asked him the question, where do you see your life 5 years from now? He said, well, I see myself as the leader of a gang and living off the take of the gang members. And then I asked him, well, what would you like to do? What would you like to become? Usually when you ask the question, where do you see your life? If that were asked of you or me when we were a child, we might have given a picture of a childhood fantasy. Now, if you were a girl, maybe you would think of yourself as a gold medal gymnast. If you were a boy, maybe you would want to be an astronaut or a race car driver. Who knows? Maybe a horse jockey. But the point being that was a fantasy. For Andrew, his picture of reality was something a little skewed because of his experiences in life. And so when I ask him, what would you like to do, what would you like to become, the answers that I usually get are a person who is secure and happy. And so Andrew, he didn't have that picture yet. And so I remembered watching him and seeing that he would sometimes go to his room and be in there quiet for a while. So I asked him, what was he doing? He said, I'm just writing. And so I asked, may I read some of your writing? His writing was excellent. I said, you've got skill. You've got talent as a writer. Sometimes he'd be sketching, and so I asked him, can I see your sketches? I'd like to see that. And he shared that with me, and I said, you have ability. These are good. I said, have you ever thought about being a writer or maybe an artist? Well, for him, that picture of his future, even though we would say that's realistic, he thought that that was a fantasy for him. And so what does it take? What does it take to help a person like Andrew begin to see what is really their potential? What he needed was consistent and nurturing care, and he was offered spiritual counsel and guidance, but it was up to Andrew to make that choice for himself. Each of us has a free will before the Father. And when he calls our name, we can say yes to those calls on our life. Andrew was given that opportunity over and over again. And so what contributes to his healing and transformation and of the other youth that are there in the care of our home? Well, I believe it's the stable and consistent prayers and loving deeds of the family of believers in Jesus Christ who are members of our United Methodist churches. I really believe that. I was asked last hour in Sunday school class, what is the one thing that we can do at Covenant Church to support the ministry at the children's home? And my answer was, pray for it. Pray for the children. Pray for the work that is being done there, and God will do the rest. He'll work on us and on our hearts. He'll call our names to be involved in the ways that we need to be, and he will deepen our love for these children and the ministry that is there. Now, I said Andrew was being offered these opportunities, and last year at our summer church camp in Asbury in Fitchburg, Andrew says that during the week, he attended there, he said during the week, he experienced the life of Jesus being portrayed every day in little dramatic vignettes. And on the last day of camp, the crucifixion of Jesus was being portrayed. And at the end of that, they were singing together in a worship experience about Jesus' resurrection victory. Andrew says that while they were singing the song, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Andrew says, and I quote him, I felt a huge, heavy weight lifting from my heart. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That same night, he shared that testimony with his fellow campers and with the staff there at the camp. And when he got home to the children's home that Wednesday night at chapel, he couldn't wait to tell at chapel service that Wednesday night about his experience with the Lord Jesus. And he was soon thereafter baptized. Andrew said, and as he spoke to these boys and girls and to the staff at the children's home, that chapel, he said, God is beginning a transforming in me. He's making me into a new person. And that is absolutely true. I thank God for the opportunity I had to mentor Andrew in this life-changing, transforming work that the Lord did for him. In order for that kind of transformation to become reality for the young people at the children's home, they need a committed family of Christ-following Christians to respond to care for them. St. James tells us that faith energizes us for works of kindness and mercy. Now, the day you became a United Methodist, a member of this congregation, you became co-owner of what we do and what we all do at the children's home in Nicholasville. And so you are a member of this healing team. Every victory that happens there happens because you're participating in it. And we thank you. We thank you for that. The need is very real. Kentucky's drug abuse crisis and poverty is devastating families. Almost 10,000 children have been removed from their homes for abuse and neglect. More children are at risk than at any other time in the last 30 years in the state of Kentucky. Our state leaders have declared this, and I quote, a foster care crisis. Our answer to this need as United Methodists is our Kentucky United Methodist Children's Homes. Through residential and in-home services and community services, we serve over 800 children every year. And you have a part in that. Today is a fifth Sunday. We take a special offering to benefit these children. Every fifth Sunday offering is essential to sustaining this ministry. Your support is needed now more than ever before as we, the people of God, put faith into action by meeting this tremendous need. Thank you again for your generosity. And I ask God's blessing on you. Please give a generous gift today. God bless you all.
Is Jody Curry. There you are. Come on up. All right. It is our pleasure today to have Jody share with us about some of the ministry going on here at the Ark. So.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Is that good? All right. Good morning. So a few weeks ago, somebody said to me, so where and what is the Ark? They're relatively new to the congregation, and so I said, well, it's a building that you see above, and it's also a ministry. Thank you. It's also a ministry, and I have one of my favorite songs is Matthew West, Do Something, and I want to read just a few lines out of that. People living in poverty, children sowed into slavery, the thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven. Have you ever done that? You watch the news and you're going, really, God? Really? Why are you letting that happen? And said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. You know, I know there's plenty of you out there that you've been called to do specific things. You've been called into music. You've been called to go to Peru. You've been called to go to Eastern Kentucky. And I can think of a lot of you out there. I do know something, and I do believe something. We've all been called to do something. And so we all find our own Calcutta. And this church's Calcutta is about a quarter mile from the sanctuary. Mike almost bypassed going to a district meeting on urban ministry because he's like, we're not urban. We don't have those kinds of problems in Oldham County. And but he went to the meeting, and he found the trailer park. And then a group of us found the trailer park. And the first time several of us drove through there, we cried. We cried tears. So God called us. He called this church to buy trailer number 16 And he called us to love these very nearby neighbors of ours. So in the beginning, we handed out food baskets. We started a reading time with the kids. We started meeting with the ladies living in Spring Meadows. We were handing out food. We were doing crafts, and we were off and running with an outreach that's in our back door. Most of the households in Spring Meadows, there's 20-some trailers right now. Most of the households in Spring Meadows, there's at least one member of the household that works. You may have heard the statistic before. You've been told, you've read it in the news, we're the richest county in the state. 15% of the people living in the city limits of LaGrange live at poverty level. And I'm just talking, that's poverty level. I'm not talking about the working poor. I'm not talking about the people that live from day to day, week to week. They don't think about month to month. So you probably know, if you look around, that Odom County has very little affordable housing for the working poor and almost no emergency housing. This neighborhood, if you've ever had a chance to drive through it, and if you've ever had a chance to go inside and talk with the neighbors, it's the most substandard housing in Odom County. There may be a few little pockets in Crestwood, but physically the most substandard housing. Most of these trailers, and I do not exaggerate, most of these trailers are very cold in the winter. Some of these trailers, the floors are just a piece of plywood. There's no carpet. We donate rugs. We donate fans. They're hot in the summer. Some of them down there have window air conditioners. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes you can pay your electric bill. Sometimes you can't. Mike said to me recently, and I said, that's a good description. We knew this work was going to be messy, and we knew it was going to be hard, and we knew that at times it was going to be incredibly disappointing. When I showed up for my first ladies' meeting, it was me and a nurse from the Hope Clinic, and it was just me and the nurse from the Hope Clinic. Now sometimes I'll have upwards of 5 or 6 ladies. I'll have upwards of 15, 20 kids. Sometimes we have 1 at tutoring. Sometimes we have 6 at tutoring. So it ebbs and flows, but we just keep going, and we just keep showing up because we know that's what God has called Covenant to do. We have tutoring. We have monthly ladies group. We have winter coat drive, school supply, a school shoe drive, Thanksgiving meal, Christmas party with Santa's workshop so the kids can shop for presents for their families. I'll give you a little example of the paradigm when you live in poverty. After the Christmas party this year, we were trying to get the gifts for the kids. Our angel tree are mostly those kids. We were trying to get the gifts kind of to their trailers without the kids seeing their Santa Claus and all that. And Mike took them out in the church bus to look at Christmas lights. And most of these kids did not even know what Mike was telling them they were getting ready to do. We're going to look at Christmas lights. What does that mean? What are you talking about? We're going to go drive through these neighborhoods and look at Christmas lights. Another one that you just forget how much you have. I stopped at a trailer one day, and I had Lunchables. And the lady in the trailer said, well, how long do they last? I'm going, well, the chemicals in Lunchables, they'll last 20 years in the refrigerator. You know, that's my paradigm. They'll last forever in the refrigerator. Oh, you can eat these 6 months from now. And I joked. And I said, no, check the date. I said, but most of them are good for at least another month or so. She goes, no, I mean, how long will they last? Because I don't have a refrigerator. Well, is it just not working? No, I don't have one because I don't have electricity. Well, how long have you been living without electricity? Oh, about 3 months. Again, it was hot. I said, well, we'll find you a cooler. So we have, recently we held our Children's Marvelous Monday down there, and they love that. One more thing about a story. The art teacher at LaGrange comes and does crafts sometimes, and she said, you know what they call the Ark? And I said, no. What do they call the Ark? And she said, they call it our church. Oh, Miss Sinkovic, you're coming to our church tonight. And that's what they call it. And one little girl shows up one day, and her mom said, and she's, you know, most of the time we're in shorts and whatever. She's in a dress and patent leather shoes. I said, "You're so dressed up. You look so nice." She said, "I wanted to look nice and dress up to go to church." You know, we were making paper mache flowers, but for her, it was church. We have fixed plumbing. We have rewired whole trailers. We have provided fans. We have fixed furnaces. We have paid the occasional utility bill, and we have paid lot rent. Because even if they own their trailer, if they can't pay that lot rent, they're evicted. And that trailer can't be moved. So they're homeless. So sometimes we do that. We had a worship service last year, and we baptized Jennifer. Did we see that? And she asked, she came to us and said, "Miss Jody, I want to be baptized." And so we put together a worship service, and by golly, we baptized Jennifer. And at Jennifer's baptism, one of the other ladies pulled me inside and said, "I want to talk about this because I don't live my life right." And so for the first time, we told her, you know, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. And you're gonna fail every day, but God loves you. And those people have every much sacred worth as all of us sitting here. And so we explained that to her. And so I still occasionally talk to her, and she'll say, "Hey, I remember what you said, that God loves me and I have sacred worth. And there's some days that's really all I got to hang on to." So our second service is tonight. It's at 5 o'clock. It's going to be hot. But if you were outside yesterday, it's not going to be any hotter today than it was yesterday. And Justin's going to speak, and Matt's going to do some music, and we're going to have some food. And we may have one person from that trailer park, and we may have 20. But by golly, we're going to be there. And if nothing else, they're going to see us. And they're going to hear us, because we're going to sing really loud. And so if you decide to come tonight, we'd love to have you. Bring a dish, because I always just call it Kate and Justin and Sherry and Chad's Sunday school class, because I don't know what else to call it. They've put this all together, and they just ask that you bring a dish for potluck. We have no idea what seeds we're planting at Spring Meadows Trailer Park and that surrounding community. And I remember one time a Methodist minister looking at me and going, I was kind of worried about something when I worked for the conference and how that seed and what fruit it was going to bear. And, like, you don't ever worry about what fruit that seed's going to bear, because you may never know what the ultimate fruit is. But, you know, God knows, and we know God has a plan for Spring Meadow Trailer Park. The last time a group of us met, I told Mike, I said, "Mike, I look forward to the meeting when we sit down and say," can I say this? Is that okay? I look forward to the when we sit down at this meeting and we say, "Okay, guys, we've bought the trailer park. What's the next step?" Because the only way we're going to change the paradigm housing out down there is if we own the property. We've told the owners of the property. We've said, "Hey, we want first dibs." And so if that's what God wants us to do, God's going to make a way for that. I've got a short prayer for the ministry. You don't have to bow your head. This is a prayer that sometimes we pray when we walk the ark. I'll get a couple of people, and we'll just walk and pray. "We thank you and give you the glory for what we have been able to accomplish in the Spring Meadows community. Lord, we pray that you continue to show us how to best to share our gifts with the people of this neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods. We pray that our work in Spring Meadows shows the people of that neighborhood that they are precious to us and that they are precious to you, Lord. And we pray that the work we do leads them to a relationship with you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." There's information outside. The first thing we're doing, first thing on the agenda for us right now are school supplies. You can pick up a whole list out there. It's a whole sheet like this. You can pick up these little pieces and bring them back. This little half sheet says how you can plug into the ARC. If we get too many school supplies, we'll share them with our brothers and sisters at High Point, because they can always use them in their store. Thank you.
To Peru, we got in Saturday morning, about 2:30 in the morning. We had a great time. God is really moving in that area, and Ashley is going to kind of share a little bit of that ministry effort by Covenant Church in Peru. And thank you all so much for your support.
Sorry, Jody, I'm going to have to move this back up. She kept pulling it down, and I was like, no, wait. So, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, it's good morning. So, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, see, now you're all ready to go to Peru, right? That and si, which means yes, and then no se, which means I don't know. Those were the phrases we needed to know, and el baño. Right, the bathroom. And that was it, right? And then we had Cindy for the rest of it. So thanks so much to her. We were so appreciative. We brought our own translator, which was awesome, awesome to see. Let me get my notes open because I'm going to start rambling if I don't. All right. So like Mel said, my name is Ashley Fishback, and I was called to be a part of a team, including Elaine Rice and Danielle Day and Pastor Mel and then our children's minister, Cindy. We all had the opportunity to go and support the Goshorn family in Huancayo, Peru. They're a family that our church supports, but we were able to bring them some much-needed supplies and also just some time of fellowship and some time of just building each other up and encouragement for them and for us. The scripture that God really placed on my heart this week was Matthew 25, 34 through 40, which says, "Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" On this trip alone, we were able to serve food to over 50 children, handed out over 100 Bibles, purchased and set up 2 desktop computers and a printer for an orphanage, gave out glasses and care packages to over 100 women in prison, and we were able to do this with the Goshorn family because of your prayers and because of your contributions, but also because we serve a great and powerful God. We were greeted the first day in Huancayo by Zumilinda and her sister Luzmilda. Both of these beautiful children have known hardship and are now actually living with the Goshorns. And you can see pictures of them. They're super adorable out on our little table. The girls are vivacious, they're kind, and they have loving spirits that quickly won us over. Cindy made some real quick friends because they only speak Spanish, and so she was able to just like, and you know, kids with Cindy, I mean, they like cling to her. It's really cute. But Zumilda, what we call Zumi, but she has a severe spinal issue. Her spine is basically in the shape of the letter Z. And she's 9 years old, and she's about this tall. And she pretty much lives in a constant state of pain. And I know a lot of you guys have heard her story before. But when she would just run up to you and just give you the biggest hug, You forget her pain. And so we were able to actually sit around and have a meal with them, and she was so eager to pray and bless the food, and she prayed for us. She had just met us that day, and she prayed for us. And I saw the Holy Spirit there in that small prayer of a child. And we go on these missions expecting for us to bring God to those people. But so often, we are also blessed in that process. So Saturday and Sunday mornings, sorry, time number one crying, it's all right. Saturday and Sunday mornings, we were able to go with the Goshorns, and they do a children's ministry where they drive up to an open field that's beside the church, and we play games with the kids. I mean, there's soccer balls, frisbees, and we just hang out with them. And then we go into a room, and they have a lesson. Cindy was able to give a Bible lesson, which just was really cool. If you see the pictures, the kids are just, like, in awe. Like, they're just like... so we were able to give a Bible lesson, and then we fed them food, so they get lunch. And then we were also able to hand out the Bibles. And handing out the Bibles to little children, I mean, that's one of those, like, you see those on, like, Compassion Worldwide photos and stuff. But being there and doing that... and seeing their faces for receiving this book, and just, they were just overjoyed, all right? And I think about the number of Bibles I have sitting around in my house, right? And these kids were just so excited just to receive this small gift. So thank you. We were able to raise the money and to purchase those Bibles with our mission funds here at Covenant, and that was just such an amazing thing to see that process. So we also visited a local orphanage. We also got to play games with those kids. Mission trips, guys, a lot of it is you just get to play games with little kids. So, like, if you're for that, then you can go to Peru and do this. and that was the best part, though, just being able to just be there and be the tall gringo that I was. And they go, oh, you're so tall. see, just smile. See, yeah. But we played games, and then Mel was able to kind of go with Tim and figure out what kind of computers they needed. And so we were able to purchase 2 Lenovo computer desktops for their media area. And they have a lot of children that are kind of high school age, and so they've got internet. And these kids do not have cell phones. These kids don't have the access that we have. And so those computers are really going to go to do good work for them and to help them further their education, get into trade schools, which is so imperative in that country. Because if you don't have a trade, the other option is extreme poverty, you know, and that's what it is. And so we were just really happy to give them those gifts and a printer as well. Another day we were able to help support the Goshorn in their prison ministry. So once a week, Jennifer Goshorn will actually go and do a women's study in that women's prison. They have a little over 100 women in the prison, and about 40 of them are in Jennifer's study. So that's almost half of the women are getting the Holy Spirit. They're getting the Word of God every single week, which is amazing. We were able to go in there and to give them glasses. We also had care packages with chapstick and tissues and things like that. And they were just so, so appreciative. They even went to their canteen and purchased drinks for us before we left. And so they just were so thankful. And it just a small gift. Just things like that just floor you. So that was very cool to go into that prison and to see, you know, the ministry that the Goshorns have already set up. They're friends with the guards. They know what the women need. They know the women. They know the people there. And so we were able to just kind of meld into that and to provide service for them. One evening, we went with Tim. We were actually maybe kind of on a search for churros, which... I don't know if you've ever had churros before. They sell them at Costco, but they're not as good. But, like, so we cleaned out the little guy with his churro stand. We maybe bought all the churros. But we were on our way for a good purpose to give – churros were on the side – to give food to this family of 12 children due to some very horrible circumstances in their life. The oldest is 19, and she is caring for the other 11 children in that place. They have a single room with a concrete floor. Tim said that this was the nicest setup that they had, and they have a single burner stove that runs off propane. And so we were able to give them a bag of food. They do it every week. The Goshorns bring them rice and lentils and eggs and for them to support them for the week, because their only other form of income is to sell candy on the side of the street. So when we went, they weren't actually there, but we went in and we gave, you know, put the food down. And Tim just happened to pick up their propane tank something he doesn't normally do, and he noticed it was empty. And so, I mean, needless to say, it was a no-brainer for us. Oh, we'll fill up the propane tank. That's not, you know, that's not a big deal. And once again, it was like not any money, like $10 maybe to fill up a propane tank there. But as we were leaving, we saw about five of the children coming in with the oldest, and one of the little girls was crying, bawling her eyes out. First of all, they've had to cut her hair short so that she looks like a boy, so that the other boys would not mess with her. That's the kind of poverty that we're experiencing there. But she has one pair of shoes, and she had lost one of her shoes playing. When you meet with extreme poverty, it punches you in the face. And I'm sure you guys have experienced, you've seen poverty in the Ark, in places around here. But the only thing I could think of was the conviction of how many pairs of shoes do I have in the bottom of my closet? And this little girl has one pair, and she lost one. So yet another no-brainer for us. We went quickly and got churros and bought, and we were able to buy her a brand new purple pair of tennis shoes, and she was so excited just to receive those shoes. And Tim said they live right down the street from the local church, and they haven't gone yet, but Tim said they're asking a lot of questions. Why do these people give us stuff? Why are we receiving these gifts? You know, no strings attached. And he said, you know, it's just a matter of time before those questions turn into, you know, and he obviously is saying it's because they're Christians, because they love Jesus who loves you. But it's just a matter of time before those kids step into that church. And that's a beautiful thing. I think one of the most amazing things was just to see Tim and Jennifer and their interactions with those people. God has given them a love for the people of Peru, and this is what they do every week. When we were driving up to one of the children's programs, the kids will just come up to his truck. They know what his truck looks like, and he knows them all by name. And so he'll be like, hey, yeah, and jump in the back. By the time we get to the location, we've got like a truck full of Peruvian kids in the back, which, you know, is kind of illegal, but they're fine. And they all jump out of the back of his truck, and they're ready. You know, they're ready to play. They're ready to learn more about Christ. They're ready to be fed. They're ready for Bible. You know, they're so ready for any positive interaction that they can get. So we were also able to attend a weekly Bible study that Jennifer does in the home with a group of women. And I think one of the most beautiful things about that was we were able to see the testimonies of these women and how Jennifer ministered to them, but then they went out to their own community and ministered to the people of their own community. Just such a ripple effect from just these two people. It was so convicting. How can I do that here? But just so beautiful to see God work through Jennifer, through these women, you know, just to impact his kingdom there in that city. So as a team, and from the Goshorns, we really want to thank you. Thank you for your prayers. If you ask the Goshorns, what is it that you all need? They will say, just like Jody said, prayer. Prayer is the first thing. There is a lot of spiritual warfare that is happening there in Peru. And the hedge of protection that is given by God is, there is no money, there's no monetary amount that is equal to that. Now, obviously, they are supported by our gifts and offerings. You can actually give directly to the Goshorn Ministry through their ministry organization, which is TMS Global. So if you just, like, Google search TMS Global, it'll come up with all of the ministries that you can support. And that money goes directly to them. No, you know, no second person, no in between. And you can even set it up so that you give a monthly amount. But the thing is that we don't do these things because of who we are. The Goshorns don't do this because of who they are. But we do this because we serve such an amazing God that calls us to make disciples of all nations and care for the least of these. And that's what God calls us to do, whether it's in the Ark, whether it's through the youth in Versailles, however it is, God calls us to be servants and to serve his people. Thank you.